You are listening to the You Are Techie Podcast, episode number 75.
Welcome to the You Are Techie Podcast, where it's all about growing in your techiness so you can find the tech job of your dreams. And now your host, technology learning coach, Ellen Toomey.
I know you've been thinking about it. I know that very techie you is ready to come out and find the tech job of her dreams this year. Who do you turn to for the support you need to move from learning to getting hired in tech? Well, I've got some great news for you. I've got you covered with the You Are Techie Coaching Membership. We listened to our audience and we heard you ask for UX design and full stack developer options in your course content. Not to mention the getting hired strategies that have worked for so many women before you. The trifecta of courses, coaching, and community with the mentor support you need to keep moving forward into your tech career is like no other membership program out there. We have the exact skills employers are looking for. You'll learn how to maximize your income with portfolio-ready skills that hiring managers are seeking. Not to mention the steps you can skip so you don't find yourself down that endless tech learning rabbit hole. Join me as we walk you step by step through the getting hired process in tech. Sign up at youaretechie.com. That's youaretechie.com. I can't wait to see you in our membership. Confidence building too. Welcome. So glad to have you with me here today. Let's talk about how to build confidence even more. So first, I want to talk about what makes confidence so hard. The first thing is that we have fear. So when we fear that we're not going to be able to achieve the goal that we've set out for ourselves, and I work with getting hired, so that's usually the goal, right? Finish the portfolio, apply for jobs, get hired, interview, get hired. So we have fear around that, that we set this goal, we get to work, and we fear that we're not going to be able to achieve it. That is a hard part about confidence. And then we also feel shame, and we feel that even before what we're worried about happens. So we're like worried that we're going to fail in the interview, or that, and we haven't even applied, or we're worried that we've set this goal and we aren't going to get it. And so others will see us as a failure. Even though in reality, people actually look up to others who strive for things. So if you say, I'm going to do this, and you set a goal and you go for it, and let's say something derails you in some way, people are actually going to still look upon you fondly for striving. And even if they don't, it really doesn't matter, right? But we have shame that we're going to be embarrassed and we're going to fail. And then the other thing that makes confidence so hard is blame. And we can blame other people. We can blame circumstances. I see a lot of that. But ultimately, we're blaming ourselves, right? We're blaming ourselves a lot for our failures. Even if we say that it's someone else's fault, or we want to blame like a circumstance, there are especially these little failures along the way. So we might say something like, if I were smarter, then I would be able to do this, or I'd be able to solve this UX problem. I'd be able to solve this development problem. When in reality, if we were more patient with ourselves, that would be the key to being more helpful. So we lose momentum when we blame ourselves for those smaller failures. And why do we do that? Why do we allow fear and shame and blame to shake our confidence? It's really how we have been conditioned from our prior experiences. So it will only stop if we stop, but we stop by being patient with ourselves, and then we learn to recondition our mental models to a more patient, loving thoughts. Because of course we haven't achieved our goal. Of course we haven't, because it's a new goal. So by that definition, we have not achieved it yet. So if we beat ourselves up, we're like, oh, I haven't gotten there yet. Then that is slowing. Those are thoughts that are not helping us at all. We need to recondition ourselves from our prior experiences.
So if we learn to think thoughts like Carol Dweck offers, and Carol Dweck wrote Mindsets and talks about the growth mindset. And I highly recommend this book. If you haven't read it, it still blows my mind that there are people out there who haven't read it. I'm pretty sure it should be required reading by everyone. So buy it and give it to everyone you know. Mindsets by Carol Dweck. D-W-E-C-K. And so Carol, one of her really popular thoughts that she offers is, I haven't learned that yet. I haven't learned that yet. So it's not that I don't get it. I'm not smart enough. I can't figure it out. It's just, I haven't learned it yet. The other way to really improve your confidence and to really look at how your fear, shame, and blame are affecting your confidence is to just get really curious and interested in exactly what you haven't learned. So if you're spinning in, I just don't get any part of coding, Ruby doesn't make sense to me, JavaScript is super hard, those are all very general things. And so if you get really dialed in on what the specific skill is, hey, you know what, I'm not actually that great at writing algorithms. Or in UX, hey, I'm not actually that great at user research. Okay, now what part of it could you get better at? As opposed to learning more and more endlessly, like, I don't get JavaScript, let me try Python. I don't get Python, let me try Ruby. If you do that, that's the cycle that isn't helping you. Where if you get more specific and say, you know what, I really haven't learned that yet, and go back to it, that's going to be more helpful to you. So basically everything we think, like where our thoughts are thinking, is from what we have experienced previously. So there's got to be something in your past causing you to be fearful or to have shame or to blame ourselves. And in the areas that you lack confidence in, I want you to ask yourself these questions, because, you know, we can say, well, it all stems back from my history. And we can, the psychotherapy kind of cliches come up. But really what we're saying is, hey, I've had these experiences and my brain is going to replay these experiences until I offer new experiences. And so you really have to offer those. So let's look at these questions that we can ask ourselves to see why we don't feel confident. Ask, why do I not feel confident in this area? And really give your pause and think about that. Why do I not feel confident? Well, I just don't know it. No, that's not going to help you. So was there a time when someone told me I wasn't good at it? Or was I not good at it related to someone, compared to someone else? And since we're talking about tech, was I not good at something related to tech? So if you're new to tech, maybe you don't have a prior experience of negative, but maybe you weren't, for example, good at math. Okay. And I don't even believe anybody can be good at math. I believe being good at math is really about practice, effort, training your brain. Anyone can be good at math. However, it's really not a prerequisite to tech. Really, actually, creative problem solving applies much more in different areas than in math. In math, the teacher says, here's the formula. Now, here, write down the formula. Okay, here's this instance. Now use that formula. And in tech, that doesn't always happen. I mean, if you're doing a search in code, okay, you have a few searching options, but most of the time you're coming up with a creative solution. And I know my UX students, but they hate the blank wireframe. It's like just staring at them. Okay, what's the right answer? Tell me the right answer. Well, there's a whole wide array of right answers to work with. Any designer will tell you. So being bold and creative to really think through and practice creative problem solving, much more important in math. That doesn't mean that if you weren't good in math or you didn't perceive yourself as good in math, you aren't gonna blame tech on that. Maybe you weren't good at math or you weren't good at science. So is there something that is related to tech, even if you just generally associate it with tech? That maybe you took a programming class in high school and you weren't good at it, or you took an online course and it didn't go well, or it was a STEM field, a math or science subject in high school or college, and it just didn't go well. I know personally, I was never really a fan of science. I found ecosystems and biology really, really boring. And then I had this teacher, Miss Kiscorny, and she taught anat and phys. That's anatomy and physiology for those people who aren't as cool as Miss Kiscorny. But she was really young and cool, okay? She also helped coach the softball team, so she was epically cool. And she made science so much fun. All of a sudden, I had never liked science for most of my life. And then all of a sudden I love science and I was a great science student. And that was from 1 year to the next. So I went from hating it and being terrible in it to loving it and being awesome. I want you to ask yourself, have you ever had an experience where you didn't love tech? And could it have been the environment or the teacher or the course that made you feel less confident, but you attributed it to your skills? Think about that and write down that experience. Because if you took a course and it didn't go well, it could be you didn't have the right entry-level skills. It could be that your skills were off. But it could be that the environment, the teacher, the course just weren't right for you at that time. Or the teacher didn't, you didn't have a teacher like Miss Kiss Corny. Okay. So that's a real name, by the way. That sounds made up, doesn't it? No, it's just her name. So are you, if you're lacking confidence, is it because of an experience that maybe you can change that experience? Because you could take a different course, right? Or you could get a different teacher. You could ask, is there a different course, environment, or teacher that could help me learn more or learn better or be more confident? So those are some helpful things that questions that you can ask yourself. You're looking at your previous experience. And another question to look at when you're looking at your previous experience and trying to get really clear on how you need to improve as opposed to just reducing your confidence. One question to ask is, how would you rate your tech skills? And specifically, the ones that are most relevant for you. So your UX skills or your coding or your Scrum. And if you're brand new, so I want you to rate yourself on 1 to 10. And even if you're not brand new, 1 to 10. And then I want you to ask yourself, how does that rating make you feel? Because if you rated yourself 1 or 2 or 3, you might feel really low in confidence in your tech skills. But maybe you're just new. So if you're just new to tech, you should be at a 1 or a 2 or a 3. If you have some skills that you think are transferable to tech, then maybe you're a little bit higher. But don't judge yourself if you're new and you're a 1, a 2, or a 3. You're just new. But you can still work on building your confidence even though you're new, because you don't want to sit in that cycle of how can I get better if I'm still new at it. There's a lot of reasons that there's a lot of ways that you can look at building your confidence, even if you're new. The most common reason I hear my students use for not being confident in their abilities is the lack of knowledge. Okay, makes sense, right? However, the challenge is that while this might be perfectly justifiable reason for not having confidence in an area like user research or algorithms, the problem is exacerbated when it's a perceived lack of knowledge. So it's not accurate that they lack knowledge. All right, I see this a lot with working with women getting hired in tech. So they see the threshold for knowledge as for getting hired as what someone knows in that role. So I need to know, the knowledge I need to have is what someone in that role knows. But in reality, that's a losing battle. You can't possibly be entering tech and new and know what someone in the role already knows, okay? Because by definition, you're new. You're trying to enter a new field. So that's really not a helpful benchmark, and that will leave you feeling a lack of confidence when it's really the benchmark is off. You're thinking you should know a certain amount of skills, and that's not accurate. Instead, the appropriate threshold is what do I need to know or demonstrate to get hired in this role? And that's really different, isn't it? Because if you're a UX designer or you're trying to get hired as a UX designer and you're thinking, I should know what someone who's been in UX for 3 years knows. If you're thinking about that, that's not a good benchmark. But instead, if you're thinking, what do I need to know and demonstrate to get hired, to start my first job, to get hired, that's going to be a better benchmark for you. Because this problem comes in when we have the knowledge and we've demonstrated it, but then we move our goalposts and we start telling ourselves if we just learned more before we start applying. I understand there's a threshold of knowledge that needs to occur before we're able to get hired. There is a threshold of knowledge. The problem is, and the one that I see far too often, is that it's a lack of confidence that causes us to think we need to learn one more thing. So that's a perceived lack of knowledge. It's not accurate. It's a false solution to this problem. And so much, I see it so much that I call it the tech learning rabbit hole. It's this endless learning without action in the hard work of building a community, telling people you're looking for work, and applying for jobs. That's the work you should be doing. Now, you should be gaining skills, yes. Just be careful that you don't continue to skill up, and then you haven't done those other things. Build a community, a network of people to help you, tell people you're looking for work, and apply for jobs. The more you move those things off and fill it in with learning, the more I want you to look at, is that a lack of confidence? So ask yourself, do I have enough data to determine if there's an actual lack of knowledge or perceived lack of knowledge? All right, so let's say we're gonna jump ahead for some of you new people here. Congratulations, you have your first technical interview and it goes poorly. But it could be that it's painful enough to result in our thinking that we don't know enough at all. Oh, I need to go back and learn a bunch more. But be careful, because that's the emotion that's causing the crisis of confidence. Even though we think the evidence is clear. So we're saying, no, I did really poorly in this one interview. So I need to go back and learn. But a practical way to actually know if it's a lack of knowledge and not a perceived lack of knowledge is to identify the specific skill that you need to be worked on, and only after you've heard that same thing from 5 different people, so you've gone on 5 different technical interviews, then you can know that that's really the issue. And that's the skill that you can work on, right? Then you can decide, am I going to get better at this skill so I can get hired in that job? Maybe you aren't. Maybe you're like, oh, you know what? I'm really good at HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. I'm just not there with React, but I can get a front-end job, and I'm going to do that now instead of be a junior developer. Or maybe you go back and you get better at React. It's your choice. You don't have to necessarily just keep skilling up. You have power here to decide exactly what skills you're going to have, and then finding the right person, the right company to match those two. So just diving into more and more work and more learning, that is the problem, because you're in this perpetual cycle. That is the problem of lowering your confidence. You're in this perpetual cycle of thinking that you need to learn more, when in reality, you just need to be more confident in the skills that you do have. And learning more can actually distract you from being confident in those really solid skills. In fact, learning more, it's rarely the answer from what I see, all right? Now, if you're just getting started, decide how much you will learn, what will be your threshold, and then don't move the goalposts, okay? Learning something better is usually the right answer. So let me explain what I mean. Let's say you do a technical interview in UX, and you hear 5 different times that your user research skills are just not quite where they want them to be. So instead of thinking, I need to learn a bunch of different user research techniques, you actually just want to get better at the techniques that you have, right? You don't need some fancy, oh, I need to learn 3 softwares and all these different tools for heat maps. And that's really not as important as actually doing the research, all right? So getting better at the skills you already have, that's a much more effective way to gain confidence and be more hireable. Either way, you can have confidence in your skills even before you're amazing at them. Build thinking about your skills positively. So instead of denigrating how your skills are, look at it like, oh, I'm a newbie. Hey, look at, I got better at this skill. Oh, look at, I achieved this goal. Instead of saying things like, oh, I'm so bad, I can't find the problem, or I can't solve this problem. Because most of tech is being confident that you can find and solve the problem. And so the way to do that is to expose yourself to different problems and then use the same process, use the same design process and the same development process again and again under different circumstances. That's how you're going to get better at those skills. That's why real world projects are really, really good. Even though you might want to do tic-tac-toe, that's not going to help you as much as just getting in there and practicing a real world problem. So, because what we really want to do is create more confidence, right? So let me talk to you about a couple things that will not build your confidence. In fact, they're hurting your confidence. So 2 specific ways that are decreasing your confidence, you may not even be aware, are thinking about what other people think about you. Thinking about what other people are thinking about you. And then the other big one is thinking that it's taking too long. Both are thoughts that are creating unnecessary distractions in your brain. So they're never going to serve you. So the more you can reduce those thoughts, the more you're making way for more confident thoughts to enter your brain. So let's talk about thinking about what other people think about you, right? Every time you think what someone else thinks about you, you're wasting time. It's just a distraction. Anyone, it doesn't matter who it is. And if you are like most people, it could be that you're thinking about what your parents think about you. And if you're for us ladies, most of the time it's our moms, right? We think, what will she think? Will she judge me? Will she be proud of me? Even if she's never said anything, it doesn't matter. So we're just thinking, what would mom think? But that's really hard to think in tech because most of our moms were not in tech. If they were, we wouldn't have this huge gap of only 20% of tech positions held by women. If your mom, if you were raised by a mom who was in tech, like you are lucky. You're like a unicorn out there. So our moms probably won't get it, right? They probably won't get it. Now, maybe some of you younger folks, that's not true. And I sincerely hope it's not true. I hope the more we go on, that's what we're trying to do here, right? Is make sure that isn't true. But our moms are going to be in our ears and we're going to be thinking about what other people think about us. And the truth is that your mom probably doesn't want you to be worrying about that. She'd rather you were spending time on your goals. So don't worry about it. That's just your brain. That's not really your mom doing anything. But even other people, they're going to judge you no matter what. Anytime you try to do something, they're going to judge you. So if you are able to spend less time thinking about them and more time thinking about your goal, that's a win. And let me give you a really specific action here. So if you are gossiping, that's about someone else. Let's say you're talking about that out loud. That's actually going to hurt your confidence. Now, I know we all have our moments, right? We all have our gossip moments for sure. But really think about that without judgment, without like, I'm such a bad person or without someone else, you know, criticizing someone else for gossiping. Just really look at it and say, huh, you know what? That's not really building my intelligence. So I think I'm going to make a different choice. That is a great way is when we are thinking about what other people are thinking about us, gossiping is just us doing that the reverse. We're just thinking about other people and judging them. So that is all going to work to diminish our confidence and work to diminish our intelligence. All right. The other thought that's hurting your confidence is how long will this take? Okay. That's another confidence destroyer. Thinking that it's taking too long because most things are out of our control as to precisely how long it will take. Now, I want to warn you that being totally fine with getting hired, taking as long as it takes is not what I mean. You want to put some stress or pressure that is going to get you into action to do the hard things like work on your portfolio and reach out to your network. That's why I always advocate a timeline. Like when do you want to be hired by? When do you want to be hired by? And then you work towards that and you do the hard work that will actually move you in that direction. Where if you're just saying, oh, whatever, take, but allowing your thoughts when you're working, like I'm not enough, I'll never be enough. I was never good enough at this. It's taking too long. I don't think I can achieve it. That is destroying your confidence. Being confident about your skills requires thinking about your skills, not thinking about how long it's going to take. So think of how much more productive you'll be if you stop thinking it's taking too long and start thinking I'm doing everything in my power to move this result forward. So those are a couple things that will not work towards confidence, thinking it's taking too long and thinking about what other people think about you. So what does work when it comes to confidence? What's going to help us build our confidence? When in episode 74, Building Confidence 1, I talk about showing up for yourself. And that's a really, really important part of that. I advocate a calendar. It makes showing up for yourself really a binary situation. Yes, I did or no, I didn't. And that's helpful in determining if you're actually taking the right actions and then making the decision to take different action if you're not, and to keep taking the right action. So I really, I encourage you to listen to that episode if you haven't already. I talk a lot about how to show up for yourself, and that's absolutely going to be a significant way to do that. Now, what I also want to mention is that there are some, in knowing, you know, being confident in the skills that you are working on, that's absolutely important. It's just that I tend to see and hear a lot of women in this, in our community, who talk about skills so much and don't actually work on the confidence portion at all. And so another thing, a great way to be confident in yourself is to put yourself in a confident posture. Think of an athlete, right? They look so confident. They've got those muscles and their posture, and they've got great stature. And so regardless of where you are in your exercise habits, your exercise routine, if you up your routine a little bit and show up habitually, you will feel significantly more confident. And slouching is actually going to make you feel less confident. So I want you to notice your posture and sit up straight. Research has shown that sitting with a good posture actually increases the chances your brain will believe the thoughts you write down. If your brain believes the thoughts, you are more confident in them. So that's really interesting. And the other piece of another part of posture and exercise is that if your pace of speech comes off confident, so this is kind of tricky because you can talk too fast and ramble and you're going to appear really not confident at all. If you don't pause, make sure that people are listening, are understanding what you're saying and giving them a chance, that'll be hard. But if you talk too slowly and you say and like a lot, those filler words are going to make you appear less confident. So just finding a great pace, whatever that right pace is for you. Some of us talk a little faster. That's okay. And some of us have just slightly slower. But if you're too extreme on either end, that will also show lack of confidence. Having your breathing, when you're in a nervous situation, like I'm thinking of an interview, gaining control of your breathing and really focusing on that and posture, that's going to help you in your confidence because you'll be able to speak clearly. Another part of this that I haven't mentioned yet, and we didn't talk about in episode 74, is to dress the part. Dress confidently. So I'm literally wearing a skirt right now doing an audio podcast. And I understand that some people like working from home so they can wear their yoga pants, okay? Here's my point on that. I'm not dissing the yoga pants at all. Love me some yoga pants. But if you are too comfortable, then you might slip into a less confident behavior because you just want to feel comfy. Usually when we're doing tough things, that's when we want to appear confident. And that requires some amount of discomfort. So I'm not saying like you have to dress to the nines every day, but I am saying ask yourself, what can I wear that will bring me the most confidence? And think about wearing clothes like that every day that are really going to make you feel like I'm showing up, I mean business. And if you were staying at home right now, you're a stay-at-home mom and you're looking to transition, that's a great small tweak you can make to like, I'm going to get dressed up today to really change it. Once you've been working in the workforce for a while, maybe that's less important, but don't hesitate to really get dressed up. People will be like, oh, you look nice. Oh, you, yep. Yeah, I'm doing important stuff. And so, and it's not just about tricking your brain. You really will be more confident in the words that come out if you feel all together, like your body, exercise, and the way that you've dressed and the way that you show up, you're going to appear confident, but you're going to also feel confident. Your brain's going to believe that you're here, you mean business. And then really the number one way to build your confidence, and I know you're not going to like it, is to put yourself out there, right? So I know that sharing your portfolio is scary. I know that telling people you're getting hired in tech is scary. But what scares you today, that's not going to scare you tomorrow. So put yourself in a position where you're displaying your skills. And I mean that visually and with words, right? I'm always promoting build your portfolio, go to a meetup. Build your portfolio, go to a meetup. Like, I mean, if you really want to break down how do I get hired in tech, build your portfolio, go to a meetup. Rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. You do those two things and you keep following up and you get into all the nuances of that. That's how you really get hired with tech. But it's nerve-wracking. You're like, no, I can't build my portfolio. I have to learn more. And it's okay. Fine. You learn a little bit. But hey, the faster you build that portfolio, the faster you get to a meetup, the faster you're getting that job. I'm serious. I remember I used to be really nervous every time I released a blog. Don't make fun of me. I know. The first time I wrote a blog, I think 2 people read it. Thank you, Medium. But what if someone disagreed with me? But what if I made a mistake? What if I made a mistake and somebody really important saw it? You know, because they were all waiting with bated breath for my first blog post. But what if I missed a point and they were like, you totally missed that point? Or what if they didn't like it? That is what was going through my head when I would release my first blog post. But what scares you today does not scare you tomorrow. I don't have any of that drama now. I've written, I think, 83 blogs. I don't ever think about that drama. So what am I thinking about? I'm thinking about things that are way more helpful. Like, how am I actually serving the people reading it? And that's the thing. When we put ourselves out there without the drama of what if someone's judging me, we have the space to think about others and thinking about how to serve them, how you're going to serve a client, how you're going to serve a hiring manager in an interview. And nothing, my friends, I mean nothing, says confidence like I'm thinking about you. When you are not filled with drama in your brain and are confident and to the point where you can really think about someone else, that is awesome. That is the confidence level you want. And putting yourself out there is the way to do that, because you're going to get more and more comfortable with putting yourself out there in that way. So putting yourself out there means being willing to get feedback, because feedback is not going to destroy you. It's going to make you better and stronger. Just remember, one jerk doesn't really matter. Did you get the same feedback 5 times? That's the one to work on. Again, this is why I advocate timelines, because if you don't make sure that you're working towards putting yourself out there with these structured learning activities. Hey, I'm going to build this portfolio asset. I'm going to show people. I'm going to get feedback on it, and I'm going to move forward. That saying the time and date that you're going to submit your first asset or submit your portfolio to other groups and people, you can do it in our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/youaretechie. You can go to a web developers group. You can go to a UX group and show people your portfolio and ask for feedback. That putting yourself out there is going to help you learn faster and better. And while you might feel really, really scared, I got news for you. Nobody's really that stressing that much over your portfolio. Like, you are, you feel like you're going to be judged, but they're not stressing out over it. And that is a really effective way to learn faster and better. That's also going to build your confidence. I mean, GitHub is based on this premise of putting yourself out there. It's like, let's all put ourselves out there so we can grow into the best version of ourselves. You help me, I help you. That's really what has to happen. And so it's super important to be confident enough to put yourself out there in tech. That is how you make progress and get hired. Okay. Hey, thanks so much for being with me here today. I can't wait to hear how you're building your confidence, and you can let us know how you're building your confidence or share your portfolio in our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/youaretechie. Let us know how you're building your confidence. Can't wait to hear, and I'll see you next time.
Hey, if you enjoyed listening to this podcast, you have to sign up for the You Are Techie email list. Imagine being in the tech job of your dreams. Join me to get the strategies, training, and never-ending support to get hired. Sign up at youaretechie.com. That's youaretechie.com. I'll see you next time.